What is going on, Sales Dev Squad? Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Sales Dev Squad podcast. It's your host, Mateo Elvira, here back with another episode. We have a very, very special guest on our podcast today, someone who's inspired me to continue creating content, to be the best salesperson that I possibly can. We'll be talking to the one, the only, Scott Ingram, who is also the host of Sales Success Stories. Just super personable guy, passionate guy, has done a lot of things in his time and in his career, whether that be in sales, events, podcasting, you name it. And super excited to just pick his brain on SDRs and just business stuff in general. But Scott, thank you so much for hopping on the podcast today. I know that you just got your new mic.
I did. You're my first guinea pig. This thing showed up like an hour ago. So I'm stoked. Thanks for letting me play with it.
I love how you sent me an email with like the map of the UPS guy. You're like, he's here, but like he hasn't stopped by yet.
He was circling. I say they teased me the entire day. This stupid UPS truck spent like the entire day circling my house within about a mile of it, not coming and bringing my mic.
Yeah, like every time you need something, that's when it takes forever. When you don't, then it comes like the next day or the next hour, it seems, on Amazon, right?
Yep, that's how it goes.
Scott, I did get a chance to look at your podcast appearance on Patrick Joyce's Salescast. Anyone listening out there, please check that one out. He talks a lot about a lot of great things just about sales. But Scott, let's just go ahead and hop into it here. I know that you kind of mentioned in your philosophy that you see a lot in the SDR field that not a lot of companies really provide transparency to the people that they bring on to the SDR role. And your thought process is really interesting around like basically selling the role or selling something on the other side so it doesn't become this career trap for certain individuals. Do you mind just elaborating a little bit more about just your thought process on that?
Yeah, for sure. And I've talked about this a couple of times where I think probably did a daily sales tip on it at some point, but this idea that it really is SDRs for some reason get treated as second class citizens. But if you don't have meetings, if you don't have pipeline, sales aren't going to come out the other end, right? And I think, you know, the creation of the SDR function has made a lot of AEs really lazy, right? Where they don't do that work anymore. And the challenge is I see too many companies really pigeonhole their SDRs. Right? Like, oh, you're only good at that. And they don't create really good career pathing, because the challenge is prospecting is a critically important part of a sales process, but it's not the only part. And there's a lot more. And I see in a lot of times there's just not enough education and process to help SDRs advance in their career and learn the rest of the sales process. So then when they make that transition to AE, number one, they actually have an opportunity to do it. And number two, when they get there, they have an opportunity to be successful and aren't being set up for failure. And so I just see a lot of things. There's not very many organizations that are really progressive in thinking about the whole person that's in that SDR role and thinking about, hey, yes, I want you to kind of pay your dues and do this work and get great at prospecting and spend probably 1 to 2 years in that role. 18 months seems to be the sweet spot from a lot of the conversations I've had. But through that process, you should be developing the skills that are going to allow you to grow into the AE role and be successful there.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this more of a cultural mindset shift from a company leadership standpoint? Is it more about actually sitting down and saying, okay, if we want to build career paths for SDRs, what does that look like? What's required of that? And let's build training to support that. Is it a combination of both?
Yeah, I think it's all the above. In this case, I think a lot of that culturally does come from the leader, but I'm also a huge believer in we as individuals have to own our own development, right? So I wouldn't sit back and go, oh shoot, I work for the wrong company. My leadership isn't providing me the training and these opportunities.
That's true.
Forget that. Like there's so many places where you can go learn the skills and go figure this out for yourself and develop yourself, right? So it's really incumbent upon both parties, but I think you have to take a good hard look and have a serious conversation with your leadership. If your desire is to progress into that type of a role, what is the path? What do they expect? What do you need to do? How do you need to develop? Maybe they'll help you with it. Maybe you need to go do it on your own, or maybe you realize that path just doesn't exist here. Mm-hmm. And if that's the scenario, you know, start networking, start building those relationships, start building those skills. So when you get to that point and you've got the successful track record in the SDR role, because that's always the number one thing. You always have to perform in the role you're in if you want to advance to the next level, right? You can't be an underperformer and think, oh, well, now I get to move to this next thing because it's been 18 months. That's not how it works, right? You have to be executing within your current role. But again, maybe you're just not in the right organization. You're going to need to start to look outside, and you may have to kind of start over and pay your dues a little bit again, but you've got to go in and ask those questions and have those conversations and look at the rest of the organization. Has this organization, do they have a track record of promoting their SDRs and giving them those opportunities to grow, or is it just churn and burn, right? You spend 12 years here, 12 years, you spend 12 months and we're going to flush you out and we'll bring in a new group. That sucks, right? So I think you just have to do your due diligence, do the work, look at the organization and figure out, is this a place that I have an opportunity to grow?
Mm-hmm. That's great advice, Scott. Really appreciate it. I kind of want to like fast forward in your timeline a bit. I was just listening to Patrick Joyce's podcast before I recorded here, just because I know you're a really important person. I got to make sure I'm saying the correct things, but I found it really cool that when you actually sold your first company, you actually decided that you wanted to go back into sales after that. Could you walk us through like what that experience was like? Sort of, I know you kind of coined the term like intrapreneur. Like, I guess for anyone listening out there that's kind of confused on this concept, like what exactly is an intrapreneur?
Well, and I probably cause confusion because I think of this in a couple of different ways. I think the traditional view of intrapreneur is being entrepreneurial, thinking in that way inside of an organization. And I think it was Brandon Fluharty who talked about this in our conversation together on Sales Success Stories. And he said, you know, you need to think of yourself as a startup, right? And your employer is your VC. Right? They're giving you these resources to be successful. But at the end of the day, you own your territory, you own your results, right? So maximize the resources, use the, you know, one of the reasons you get VCs is to get advice too, right? So leverage your leadership, yet leverage all of the resources that are around you. But then it's up to you to be creative and entrepreneurial and find what's going to work and help you succeed and overachieve in your particular space. So I think that's kind of the entrepreneurial mindset. Where I think it gets confusing with me in particular is I'm just a very entrepreneurial guy, right? So all that I do with Sales Success Media, with the podcasts, with the books, with the events and all of that stuff is completely outside of my day job. So whether you want to call that a side hustle or however you want to think about that, it's kind of a different thing. But I think there's so much value in having something like that because it exposes you to so much more, right? And one thing that I've noticed pretty a lot recently, I've done some interviews with episode 100, right? The episode we just released was with a former CIO, CMO, and she went into a sales role and is working with, you know, CIOs. And when you have that level of empathy, like when you've been in the seat and you completely understand what it's like to be them, I think that's really valuable. And anytime you can learn about business, it's going to serve you well, right? And the best way to learn about business is be in business, right? Understand, you know, how does accounting work, right? How do the contracts work? How does finance, all the different pieces. But at the same time, that's why I decided to become what I call an intentional individual contributor and choose to be in sales, because when you are an entrepreneur, when you are running the show, you're responsible for everything. And the beauty is when you're in sales, you can just focus on that one thing that you're great at. And then you've got somebody else that's responsible for all the operations and delivering the solution and building the solution and all these other things that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember like in some of the content that you mentioned, like some of the best sales reps are ones that really understand their industry that they serve, the ecosystem that they serve. Like how are you able to like understand your ecosystem or your industry like so proficiently and so quickly?
Well, I don't know that it's quickly, right? I think that this is really something that you work at. So I've been in the marketing technology space in my day job for the last, gosh, 10 years or so. And part of what I get to do with all the sales success stuff is I get to play marketer a little bit, right? Like, okay, I'm producing content. How do we get that out there? How do we get people to sign up for the newsletter and set up a channel so that we're able to communicate with them and all of those kinds of things. But you know, developing that expertise, it's just like anything else, right? You study the industry, you read books that are relevant, you read the news sources that your prospects are likely reading, and you talk to them. I mean, the vast majority of my learning has come from conversations with my customers or with my prospects and asking them to help me learn. I mean, one of the things, so I've typically sold to senior marketing leaders. And in a couple of roles that I was in, you know, we brought on new CMOs. Actually, in both cases that I'm thinking of, this was the CMO we brought on before we went public. So I've been with two organizations that went public, first with Bizarre Voice and then with Eloqua. And as we brought in those CMOs, they resembled the folks that I was trying to sell to. So it was the perfect opportunity to say, hey, you are the exact persona. You're the ideal customer profile that we're going after. What is your world? What is your day-to-day like? And most importantly, the thing that's helped me the most in those situations that is I ask them, what gets your attention from people who are trying to sell to you? What breaks through? Because when you're a chief marketing officer with an organization that's about to go public, they're getting a lot of phone calls. They're getting a lot of emails and all these kinds of things. So, you know, it was really, really valuable for me to ask that question and just get inside their head a little bit and understand how do I break through? What works for you? Because what works for them is very likely to work for others.
It's an interesting spin. Appreciate that. I really want to hop into your podcast here, Scott, because I feel like now more than ever, people have decided to just put themselves out there and create content, start a podcast, push out videos. And this is something that you've been doing for a really long time. And obviously, like a big concern with people starting their own content or just starting off is they feel like their content isn't good, or there's obviously just concerns and just nerves about putting themselves out there and what people might say. Like for anyone out there that wants to like push out content or create content or like start a podcast because they're inspired by the sales success stories, like what was your journey like and what advice do you have for them?
You just have to start. You know, this is, I will never forget. I mean, the first few episodes that I did, I'm very comfortable speaking. I'm very comfortable on stages. Like, it's really hard to have me be very nervous. I don't know that I have been as nervous in my life as I was before those podcast episodes, which makes no sense, right? I'm like, I'm interviewing somebody. It's just me and them. Nobody's actually listening. Nobody was ever really going to listen. And that's the beauty of any of these plays, whether you're going to go deeper into LinkedIn and you're going to start posting more consistently, or you're going to start a podcast, or you're going to start a YouTube channel, or whatever your thing is. In the beginning, nobody knows about you. You don't have any audience, and that's the opportunity to suck, and you're going to. So just expect that, because the only way through that is to do it. So if you're ever going to do it, you may as well start now, so that when you get to a certain point, you will be good.
Yeah, and I mean, I could definitely attest that it takes some time. I got all this fancy equipment here, but I'm still like recording my audio poorly, and I guess it's just like a learning experience as you're going, right?
1,000%. You know, it's really funny. I mean, I waited. I've had over 1 million downloads across my show before I upgraded to the microphone that you already have. But for me, it's the same thing as, I don't ride outdoors very much. I'm much more of a Peloton guy these days. But when I ride a bike, I could spend $10,000 on the most amazing bike on the planet, but the thing that is going to make the biggest difference is the engine of that bike, and that's me. So the only thing I can do is improve that, right? The actual bike, the actual equipment, whatever the technology and the tools are, is kind of irrelevant if you can't make the most of it.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. You're the engine. It doesn't really matter about anything else about your equipment or what other people say, as long as you have the guts to keep pushing content.
Well, and that's true of like your tech stack too, right? If you're an SDR and your job is to reach out to folks and book meetings, you can have the greatest tech stack on the planet, but if you can't have a conversation, if you can't compel somebody to take that meeting, it's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. You know, until you can make use of the phone, until you can make use of an email, all the other stuff is just useless.
Mm-hmm. Scott, I know that you were like really big into like events, or I know you're still into like, you know, building out events once this whole COVID thing washes over. But one thing that really stood out to me is that you really love the sales community. You find the sales community to be really unique in the fact that not only like are they money hungry, but they really want to make a difference and help people out that are, you know, I guess similar to them. I guess from your experience, like what makes the sales community a very unique community to be a part of?
Well, I think the biggest thing is this is one of the only ways where your personal growth and development and effectiveness has such an immediate impact on your earnings. And, you know, I tell people there's really no other role where if you get 10% better, I mean, in sales, you don't make 10% more money. You probably, you know, there's accelerators going on. You're going to make it to President's Club. So if you get 10% better and can produce 10% more results, you're probably going to make 20 or 30% more money. That's not a thing anywhere else. So I think great salespeople, my people, you know, the sales success community are those that understand that and are actively working to grow themselves. And what's great about our conversation, anybody listening to this, they're one of us. Otherwise they wouldn't be listening to it, right? So that's what I love about my shows and who it attracts. And there's also just this givingness and generosity, right? None of us got to where we are by ourselves, right? There's no such thing as a self-made sales professional, right? We've had mentors and leaders and people, great peers and colleagues. We've had people around us who have helped us grow and achieve more. And I think we all are sort of compelled to pay that forward and to give back and continue to contribute to the community. And it becomes very circular in that way. But what's fascinating for me is the more that I give back, the more that I try and inspire and help people grow, the more I grow, right? I'm not done. I don't have it all figured out. You know, this is a never ending thing.
Mm-hmm. If you had to go back in time, Scott, and give yourself advice before you uploaded the first ever episode of the Sales Success Stories, what would you tell yourself?
I would say be more patient and more consistent than you think you need to be. Now, the consistency piece I did, but it's the patience. It takes a long time to build the audience, build the following, build the engagement, build the community. That's just not an overnight thing. And I think there's so many things that we do where we want that instant gratification, right? I want to record this podcast. I want to put it out and I want thousands of people to listen. That takes years. And it's probably getting harder as the guy who tracks every freaking active sales podcast I can find. And there's, I think I'm almost up to 300 shows on that list. Like it is getting to be very noisy. It's hard. But like anything, right, this is a very long game, you know, especially in terms of your career, right? Yes, you worry about your numbers and the number of meetings that you're booking this week and this month and this quarter and this year and all of those things, but your career is going to last a couple of decades. So I think at some level, you have to maintain that longer time horizon. And when you think about it that way, it's execute, it's be consistent, it's put one foot in front of the other and don't stop.
Mm-hmm. Love it, Scott. I know we're coming close to the end of the podcast, and we usually like to end off the podcast by just asking you some advice. Obviously, you've given me and our viewers a ton of advice today, but for anyone out there that's been inspired by any of your episodes or this episode in specific, and they said, screw it, I want to get into sales because Scott Ingram is the man and I want to be him one day. What advice do you have for them?
It's start and surround yourself with the people that you want to be like. And that's really what I work so hard to create with the Sales Success Community. I mean, the value for me, I mean, the podcasts are amazing because I actually get to talk just like you and I are having this conversation, and we'll finish the episode and then we'll talk some more, right? So I get to do that with everybody that comes on my show, but the people who listen to my show, they don't get that. And that's why we created the Sales Success Summit, right? And I wanted to create that opportunity where you can be surrounded and talk to and get advice directly from the very best. And this year, you know what, in a lot of ways, the pandemic has been good for us. Even though I had to pivot to a virtual event, and it's going to be epic. We're going to deliver the best virtual event that has ever happened, because I don't think anybody's doing it very well. That wouldn't have happened if we didn't have this opportunity. I would be very, very focused on the couple hundred people that would have been coming here to Austin, and probably just like last year, the live stream would have been sort of an afterthought, like, yep, it's available, sign up, here you go. Now there's going to be a live stream experience, and we're working super hard to attract our people and create opportunities for them to connect and to build those mentoring relationships and surround themselves with those who are great and just like them are looking to grow and get to the next level. So my advice, very selfishly, but free to you, is go to top1summit.com and get signed up for the summit. It's happening October 12th and 13th. We'll be rolling out the details on the presentations here very, very shortly. And it's next level, because all of this content very, very uniquely all comes from real sales performers who are at the top of their game right now, right? Not people who are, hey, I want to give keynote speeches and I wrote this book about sales and maybe were or weren't successful. We're only bringing those who are at the very top of their game to this. And for those that are in the SDR space, the first three presentations are all prospecting focused, right? It's because it all starts there. It's such an important topic. It's important for me because you always have to be developing pipeline. I don't care what your role is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll definitely have a link to that down below. And I guess for anyone out there that would like to just reach you directly, Scott, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find everything. If you go to top1.fm, everything's linked up there. So hit me up on LinkedIn. You're welcome to email me. If you listen to this, send a note to Scott at top1.fm, and I'm happy to say hey.
Awesome. Scott, thank you so much for dropping some knowledge for us today. We really appreciate it. And for anyone out there, please check out his podcast and his summit coming up. A lot of great stuff here. And Sales Dev Squad, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. We will catch you guys on the next one.